Thanks so much for joining us this week. So my quote today is by the Dalai Lama, and he says, "People take different roads seeking fulfillment and happiness. Just because they're not on your road doesn't mean they've gotten lost." So how many of us are searching for that life's purpose? There's so much information out there available. So how do we choose that correct philosophy or process to explore to see which one will actually work for us? Well, today my guest is Christopher Roelke, and he has spent a lot of time searching for deeper meaning and purpose in life. Where he has found answers is in the ancient Vedic science of India, and I hope I said that correctly. He learned, and I know I'm not going to say this right, but he learned Ayurveda and became a certified holistic health counselor in 2017, where he was introduced to Bhakti Yoga. All of these very hard words for me today. Bhakti Yoga is the yoga of devotional service. And he did that in the same year in 2017. Now, this gradually led Christopher on his path of learning the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition of West Bengal, India. Now, working as a holistic health counselor, Christopher uses sound healing for stress management and group work with adults who have developmental disabilities and the Ayurvedic nutrition counseling with private clients. Now he volunteers full-time at the Bhatik Vedanta Institute of Spiritual Culture and Science in Princeton, New Jersey. Now the institute works to bridge the current Western scientific community with that ancient Vedic science of India. So with that, just a mess of an introduction, please help me welcome my wonderful guest, Christopher, to the show. So Christopher, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you for trying to do your best with all those pronunciations. I know it's hard. It took me a while to learn how to pronounce things the right way, so I really appreciate your genuine
And shame on me, Christopher. I should have put the, like how you do in the dictionary, they have the nouns, and then they have this the how you say it.
Yes,
but I didn't do that, so... This is live show. This is what happens. But thank you for being on. And again, you will say all of the terminology that I just messed up. You will, of course, say it properly so that we don't, I don't want to insult anyone by any means. So first question is, what are the Vedic sciences and how does, I'm going to say it wrong again, but Ayurveda and Bhatik Yoga, how does that all fit together?
Right. So the Vedic sciences, from ancient India, from India in general, because they're still very relevant in the life of people there, and they're becoming popular here through Ayurveda is the health science that I became certified in, which is more about how you learn about your specific design. We know from even the Western perspective that everybody has a different body type, everybody has a different way of thinking, everybody works a little bit differently. So Ayurveda is the science, the Vedic science, where you find out what your constitution is and how to best adjust your lifestyle to promote the efficient functioning of your state of mind, of your body type, so that you can have a relatively harmonious life and you can ideally pursue a spiritual life. All of the Vedic sciences are really aimed at the cultivation of this spiritual life. Now, Bhakti Yoga, as you said, is the devotional, the science of devotion, devotional service. So, this devotional service is a method to basically not only serve the people that you live with, the people around you, the people in your town, state, country, people on the same planet that you live with, right? But it's also very much a way of cultivating service to a higher power. It's a part of this path of self-realization, really figuring out who we are, what our role is here. It's figuring out what our relationship with our source is, with God. You know, everybody has a different word for it. In the Vedic sciences, Krishna, this photo, this tapestry behind me is of Krishna holding up Govardhan Hill. So in one of his pastimes, when he came to Earth. I'll explain that a little bit later. But it's about cultivating this devotional service through your immediate environment with the people that are around you. But it's to come closer to God in a very personal way, in not such a mystical, hard to grasp kind of way, but just as it's easy for me, it's easier for me to have love for you if I get to know your personality, if I get to know who you are, the qualities that I can learn to actually love and relate to. So it's the same idea with this devotion to God. The conception of God in this Vaishnava tradition, the Gaudiya Vaishnava, is that God is unlimited. And that being said, saying that God didn't have a distinct personality would be placing a limitation on the unlimited source. So that's a part of this tradition. That's the view. And it's about building that relationship. And as you build that relationship, you'll just see all these loving qualities start to develop within yourself. And you're able to, it's very practical because you'll start to see how your relationships with other people also increase because you're more compassionate. You're more able to come from that place of relating to people and trying to come from a common ground as opposed to being like, well, this is where I am. This is where you are. And, you know, hopefully you'll come to my side or I'm coming to your side. But instead, let's just have compassion for each other. Let's be able to relate to each other with the similarities that are there and respect each other for the differences that are there and be able to coexist peacefully. So that's the aim of these Vedic sciences, essentially, is to figure out who you are and how to best direct your life. And
No, I was going to say, you know what's fascinating about this, okay? I've heard of the science before, I don't know really a lot about it, so this is very fascinating for me to learn from you. So I have a couple of questions with that. Number one, a statement more than a question, and then I do have a question for you, but
sure.
This has been around for, I'm assuming, thousands of years, right? Because it's very culturally based in the India realm. And I think now that we're this global community, that we have a lot of people, you know, immigrating to, you know, the United, we live in the United States, you, Christopher, you and I, right? So we have a lot of Indian people that have migrated here that are bringing their culture. So that's why I think that we are seeing more of these yoga studios and this teaching more available to all of us, right? So because that's the global community, right, where it's just so easy to fly, live, and function. The other piece of that, though, it's been around for thousands and thousands of years, and yet we have so much war, kind of tragic, because it's almost like this is the answer to the chaos and the anger that we live every day. So just kind of sad. That's my comment. My question to you is, you're a very young man, okay? How did you, or why did you seek this path in the first place? I'm fascinated because I know that usually as we enter our 40s and 50s from a decade standpoint, we become more spiritually hungry where we're seeking information and that inner peace because we kind of have, you know, you have the money, you have the stability, all of those things. So you're very young to have ventured out on this path. I'm just curious, why now for you?
Why now? It is just, all I can say is it's where I was. It's what I was attracted to. When I was younger, you know, going through grade school and high school and college, you know, I didn't finish college. I was very distracted through a lot of my schooling. I was able to make it through high school without a problem and still get decent grades, you know. But I was always very distracted, and my attention was being pulled in other directions, and I was looking for what else was there. I wasn't so much okay with just listening to what everybody else was saying and, you know, coming to the conclusion that, well, I guess this is what life is because that's what they say. For some reason, I just had some calling to look for other things, something a little more different, and that pulled me in a lot of different directions because, you know, as nice as it is to be able to have the freedom and the call to look for a different way of living, you can definitely get pulled into not the most positive paths, because some people kind of just can fall. So I was blessed enough to find really sincere people who were living these alternative lifestyles, not just from this Vedic perspective, but for a while, and I'm still friends with a lot of these people. I met this community in Monmouth County, New Jersey, who practiced shamanism and who were Reiki practitioners. And I learned a lot about the Lakota Sioux tradition of South Dakota. And this was all just me navigating my way through all these different paths that existed that I was somehow able to come across. But that, even though it's a very different culture and a very different belief, that still led me to yoga and this Indian philosophy. And I started going to these very nice yoga classes. So typically the yoga we know here in the West, as you mentioned before, is right going to a yoga studio, doing these poses. That's called asana within Ashtanga yoga, this eightfold system of reaching that spiritual enlightenment, you can say, that we talked about earlier, figuring out how to best direct our life. So I got to know this family who were doing these amazing classes out of their house, local to where I was living in Monmouth County. And I continued to learn from everybody involved in that group. And one of my friends from that group was going to the Bhaktivedanta Institute in Princeton, and I went with him once. And as I continued to grow and learn, just as my path went from really heavy into this shamanism and native teachings through this Ashtanga yoga with this whole system, within the Vedic science realm, it started to be directed into this Bhaktivedanta center and the teachings that I was learning there. So it was always, to get back to your initial question, it was always just a very natural progression for me. I always just tried to listen to my heart as much as possible. I tried to come from a place of love. I was also blessed with two parents who were very supportive. You know, they wanted the best for me always, and they were always coming from a place of love, and they're very supportive. So, you know, you plant the seed and you cultivate it, it grows in a certain way. So that's the way I was cultivated, through my parents, and I had a natural inclination for this anyway, so it kind of came out due to that love that I, you know, was raised with, and the freedom that I was able to find, and the diversity that existed here in New Jersey, in Monmouth County specifically, and throughout, I'm finding out, you know, throughout the rest of New Jersey too, there's a lot of resources for this alternative way of living here in New Jersey, coming from a lot of different cultures, which was amazing to me, because, you know, typically, even though these things are coming to the West, you think, oh, maybe I have to go to some random state out in the middle of the country or something like that, but literally within a 45-minute perimeter, all of these resources are available, and it was crazy. But I'm very blessed, I'm lucky, and I'm grateful. So
yeah, again, a couple of comments. First, I know your mom, and she's amazing. Yeah. she's actually been on the show. She does a lot of work for Life Vest, which is just sharing kindness. And she runs, God bless her, she runs the one at, yes, there you go, you have the team. Good support, son. But she runs the one out of Red Bank, the dance. They do it all across the world. So just really cool. So again, you came from this very giving, philanthropic family. And the other thing I'd like to comment on is that, number one, kudos to your parents to let you think, right? Because I think we parents, right, I'll speak from my parental perspective, that it's like, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this to fit into society, because that's what we were taught. And we sometimes forget to help our children think and find the path that's right for them, because everybody shouldn't be going to college. Everybody should not become a builder where they use their hands, you know, or whatever. So I think that you are blessed that your parents have allowed you to think for yourself. And I think that's amazing, the support that they've given you. Because let's face it, Christopher, this is not a typical path that you hear 20-somethings going to. So again, kudos to you for not following just what your friends were doing kind of thing, but for you to be your own man and think from that perspective. And again, it started with the support from home. So just a wonderful story. The other comment I wanted to make is, wow, the amount of resources available, because again, I live in Monmouth County, but that you said within a 45-minute radius from where you live in Monmouth County to have all these resources. I often think we hear something like our discussion today, people listening, and they're like, oh, but that's probably not in my area. And then once you just do a Google search, you'd be shocked at what's available. Because I think we insulate ourselves as communities because we buy homes in communities that have the similar values to us, right? So you're living within this very insulated perspective. So I think once we hear a topic like this, and this really, Christopher, is I think one of the biggest points of my show, or I hope is one of the biggest outlets for my show, is to share these different perspectives that I didn't know. I knew of the science, but I didn't know the information that you're sharing, and that you as a young man found this path is fascinating to me. So again, I hope the show provides different perspectives. Whether people agree, disagree, doesn't matter. You're hearing new information, and I think that's really critical for us to uninsulate ourselves from these local communities that we kind of throw ourselves in and stay within, just to expand that perspective a little bit. And I think that's real important. And you're kind of doing that journey. Again, you found that path at a very young age. I commend you. I think that's amazing. And my last comment, and then I'm going to ask you another question, is that you found this as a young person. We need more of 20, 30 year olds to find this inner harmony, because we are in a very angry, chaotic, it's just, there's so much bad out there that we hear because of the media too, that we need more kindness in the world. So it's just cool that someone younger is forging that path. Like, there's hope for the future, you know, there's hope for the world, because you guys are the leaders. Your generation are truly the leaders for us going forward. So again, I commend you. I think it's amazing that you're your own man, and you're learning so much beautiful information that it's not hurting you or anybody. If anything, it's helping you thrive and grow and become brighter and bigger. And I think that's just amazing. Now, go ahead. You wanted to say something?
I have a quick comment.
Sure.
Yeah, on insulating the communities, as you're saying, a part of de-insulating the communities is realizing that also, yes, there is a lot of unfortunate things that are happening in the world right now, but there is much more positive things going on than we're aware of. So
yeah,
shifting the focus to what's good and trying to add to that and be a part of that, and not ignoring the bad, because that's not going to do anybody any good, but just paying attention to it to the extent where we're aware of what's going on, and we can see how our skills can help that situation. But I think a lot of people, you know, we live in a culture that's very influenced by media.
Absolutely.
And a lot of time is spent in front of media, I think a little excessively, to be honest.
Agreed.
But if we just use it to the point where we can learn, we can pull what's going on, and then try to do our best to do something small every day to help things go in the right direction. And honestly, a big part of that, though, is not only doing something for others that's nice, or something that might help society at large move in a better direction. That's definitely a part of it, but really a lot of the work is, I think, also internal in it. You know, the environment that we're in reflects where we are, what our level of consciousness is. So if we work towards these spiritual practices and you know, cultivating that kind of devotion to the people around you, as well as whatever, you know, higher power you may believe in, that itself will impact everybody around you in such a subtle way that you're not even aware of. You know, you can definitely take those gross actions where, hey, let me help this person out in a very obvious way just because I feel love for them and I want to. But those subtle ways that our demeanor, the subtle things that we say or the way we say them, reflect how our own spiritual progress is going, those things also make a huge impact, I think. So
yeah, and it's, you know, the little adds up to the big, right? To turn a ship, you can't turn it on a dime. It's a gradual progression, and that's really what you're talking about, and we all can contribute to that. And I do agree that we are so media driven, and social media too. You know, Christopher, look, everybody is on their social media, Facebook, you know, it's almost an obsession. It's dangerous. It's all very dangerous, because I think it keeps us from thinking for ourselves. And again, I go back to my previous comment that I'm personally proud of you, again, knowing your mom and that she has helped you find this path. You know, I think we as parents need to do more of that, because, again, you're the future leaders of this country, and we need to find some kind of balance. Now, I know that you do a lot of work with sound healing, and you've done a lot of work. Your mom was telling me about working with children, autistic children, with the sound healing. I know that you're working now with the Institute. Will you continue to do that sound healing that you've, I think that you were rewarded with, you know, by doing?
Yeah. So at the Institute, the work that we'll be doing with the sound healing is going to be for the students as a tool for stress management. We're going to be doing these free stress management classes, not only for the students of the school, but for the community there in general, using the singing bowls, using the drums, and using mantras, you know, these Vedic mantras to help de-stress and to help come back to a more centered place and be able to redirect the consciousness in a hopefully a more uplifting way. Yeah. So that's how I'll be using the sound there.
I know you love doing that too, right? Because the way people respond is, I think your mom had shared one story that it was, I want to say an autistic child, and left the room. I guess it was overwhelming for them. And you went out with the child and did something with the sound, and that was able to bring the child, I think, back in. Just wow, how rewarding is that, to be able to connect with just another being on such a intimate, and I don't mean that in a dirty way, but an intimate, loving way is just remarkable. I love stories like that.
And I'm glad you actually said that, right? Because first I'll comment on what you said about that intimate, loving connection with another person, and then I'll come back to the sound and how I've seen it affect people. A part of creating this devotional relationship with others, and what I said before, it's not being afraid of that word intimacy and really getting close to somebody, because it's not a dirty thing. Yeah. It's as far as creating a relationship with someone that has real emotion, and feeling. And that's what, right, that's what living is. Living is feeling these things and coming from that place, not so much creating some mental concoction and thinking that our perception of the way things are is everything. It's feeling. It's really living from the heart, you know. But commenting on the sound, the organization that I've been working with, it's adults with special needs, developmentally disabled, mm-hmm. and it's the Ark of Mammoth that I've been doing these classes with, and my reason for continuing to work with these adults, I find that despite whatever condition might be abnormal from the societal perspective, these people are people who are very much heart-centered and very honest, and more so the honesty than I find in a lot of people who are not, you know, developmentally disabled. And the sound is something that even in the Vedic sciences they say affects us in the most subtle way. It affects us, our consciousness, it affects our awareness, and the people that I work with have a very, somehow they are able to surrender, I think, more easy than other people might. And that one instance where there was a girl who got upset about something, and she went out of the room, and I knew that she liked this one specific instrument. It was a Tibetan singing bowl. It makes a real nice gong sound when you strike it. So as everything else was going on, my mom was there that one particular day, so she continued to play the instruments with them. We were doing a drum circle, and I went outside of the room and I used the singing bowl to basically make a connection with the girl to show her, hey, you know, I'm paying attention to you. I see that you're feeling distraught for some reason. I knew that she liked that instrument and she loves playing with that sound. So that wasn't the instrument that she had initially. So I knew she might have felt a little disconnected from the group. But that brought her back and she was happy. And, you know, I made that loving connection with her and she was able to come back in and have a good time. So yeah, it's nice work, working those adults.
Yeah, it's rewarding. And you're right. I think that they surrender more easily because they're not as programmed as the, you know, non-developmentally disabled, right? We all judge and we all predetermine, right? I said before, I hope the show helps people see a different perspective, whether they agree or disagree, doesn't really matter. Once you hear information, you know about it, it just expands your perspective, which I think is a good thing. So I think that we hold out more because we're programmed so tightly that it's not good. It's just not good. I think that we really have to open our minds. And Christopher, the thing is, it's really hard to do. I'm not saying that any of this path of becoming more open-minded is an easy one because we get caught up in our own crap, right? The stresses of our daily life, you know, paying the bills, making sure the kids are fed and there's a roof over. I mean, there's stresses in life. So I love that we have outlets like this, which are really holistic. There's no medication. There's no drugs involved. It's truly using the senses to heal or to, in this case, de-stress, you know, people, which I think is really a beautiful thing. Now, the institute you work for, and I'm not even going to attempt to say the gentleman's name, but who is he? Like, what is his, and we have about 4 or 5 minutes left, but what is his background that you found him? I think it's great, sure. But what is his background?
Yeah, so his name is Bhakti Madhavapuri Maharaj.
Thank you.
No problem. He started going to school just like the rest of us in Western society. He first, you know, got his undergrad degree and then went on to get his PhD in computational chemistry from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And from there, he wanted to know more about consciousness. What is consciousness? It's a word that we, you know, hear thrown around. It can kind of be mystical when you don't have something substantial to connect it with. So he was thinking, where can I find out more about this? You know, the general perception here in the West is that, yeah, I've heard of those Indian sadhus meditating on consciousness and trying to figure it out. So based on that, you know, general principle that we hear here in the West, he went out there, became involved in this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. So his formal initiation into this tradition was in 1972 by Srila Prabhupada. He is the gentleman who, as we said earlier, a lot of people from the East came to the West, and that's how we began to learn about their traditions. So Srila Prabhupada came here in the 60s, in the late 60s, and started what we know as the Hare Krishna movement that started in New York and spread throughout the country and worldwide. And then so from Madhavapura Maharaj's, from his perspective, then he became initiated again as a sannyasi, which is where you basically have a more simple way of living and you're dedicating your life fully to cultivating this connection with Krishna and living your life in a devotional way and serving. And that initiation was in 1982, and that was by Sridhar Maharaj. And so his background in science is what gave him the knowledge he needed to be able to connect with these Western scientists, and the rest of his devotion life as a Vaishnava is what gave him the foundation in this Vedic knowledge to give him a place to speak from, to help to try to guide and relate with those Western scientists to form connection, to make them, you know, think in ways that they might not be used to being exposed to, purely being absorbed in Western culture and Western science. So for the last 6 years, he's been in Princeton He's been working with the scientists much longer than that. There's actually a sister institute, the Bhaktivedanta Institute of Spiritual Science and Culture. There's also one in India. And we actually have two other sannyasis from India coming to do some tours in universities in New Jersey. They come mid-January. And, you know, with the assistance of Maharaj, they will be looking to spread the awareness of this, and whoever connects with it, and they'll definitely be exposed to something they most likely haven't heard about before. And for those, like I said, who want to know more, it's nice, because that's how I found out about it, right? I didn't know anything about it. I had a brief introduction to it, and I wanted to know more, so I went farther down the rabbit hole, and the resources were there. So that's, you know, that's where he came from. That's his scientific background, and that's how he made his way through this tradition, and still is, you know, very much practicing today. It's a way of life, as I said. And the institute now, actually, every Saturday is a program from 1 to 4 o'clock. We start with kirtan, which is basically this congregational chanting and playing of instruments, just to really enliven the mood and get that devotional spirit, get that flame flickering. Then we have a discussion, a philosophical discussion based on this bhakti yoga and this tradition. And then we have prasadam, which is a lunch, a vegetarian lunch. And that's a free program every week at the Bhaktivedanta Institute in Princeton, 1 to 4 o'clock, as I said. And we actually have another workshop that we're gonna do, a bhakti yoga discussion in New Brunswick, which is not too far away from Princeton.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the Garden. It's going to be at the Garden of Healing. I have that written down. It's on Bayard Street, 27 Bayard Street. So that's going to be on the 20th of this month. It's going to be from 1 to 4 o'clock. So January 20th, 1 to 4, at the Garden of Healing. Cool. We'll be doing a free discussion. Both of the sannyasis from India will be there also. So it'll really be an opportunity for some cultural immersion and hopefully spark something new for some people.
Yeah, again, it's so available, and you know, all these free resources, you know, we kind of need it. We need a little bit of help, so this is a great alternative. Thank you. We're out of time, so thank you for being on the show and for sharing these resources. I just want to give everybody the website, so if everybody, you're a little more interested or intrigued, please go to, and it's www.BeLikeBoy, V like Victor, I, S like Sam, C like Connie, S like Sam.org. And they can email you at, is it your email address?
That's Maharaj's email address.
It's Maharaj, okay, at Gmail. What I'll do is I'll post, do you have an email address, Christopher, in case they want to connect with you?
For sure. So my email address is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, R-O-L-K 3 at gmail.com. So chrisroke 3 at gmail.com.
Okay, I will put your email. I think people listening, because now they've seen you, they've heard you, they probably would be more comfortable reaching out to you. So I'll put the website and your email address on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change platform so that they could find you and connect with you. Yeah, because you articulate yourself very well. And I just think that people will be comfortable with that versus giving them, you know, someone else's email, if that's okay.
All right. Understood.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you again, Christopher, for being on and just sharing your story, but sharing the insight and perspective. And really, the bottom line of everything we discussed today is just leave with your heart and just kind of stop and breathe and look at the person, human to human, right? Get rid of the judgments, get rid of whatever biases or prejudice. Just look at the human to human, because we're kind of all wired the same. We all bleed the same, right? So let's try to dig in there and just come from a more loving, caring place. And magic happens, right? As soon as we lead with love, magic happens.
Thank you, Connie. It's been awesome. You've been so open, and your questions have been awesome.
Awesome.
So thank you for everything.
A real pleasure, and I'm glad I'm getting to know you as well. So we have your mom to thank for connecting us.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Therese. She's a rock star. Yeah.
Shout out to Therese Rohi.
Exactly. Thank you again. And thank you all for joining me. And I hope you'll join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together just how to grow and challenge ourselves and realize that hearing different information and embracing whatever works for you so you can embark on the changes that you're seeking in your life. I really hope that it always starts here with the show and again with my wonderful guests like Christopher. Thank you all. Thank you again, Chris, Christopher, for being on. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everybody. Have just a wonderful and inspired week. Take care.